Jesus' name. I'm quite encouraged this morning because listening to these testimonies and our brother's last testimony confirms what God wants me to share with you all today, and I think you'll see the reason why I'm encouraged, because the title that I've got here is Jesus Said, Go Make Disciples. Jesus said, Go Make Disciples. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, he says, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go make disciples. So Jesus said, go make disciples, not go save souls. And there is a difference. There is a difference. You have to be first a disciple. I am convinced of that. And this is why discipleship is not always experienced or taught in our churches. Therefore, you will reproduce your kind. Yeah. And this is what happens. Everything will reproduce its kind, the same as this last nation, the world is reproducing its own kind, which digresses and gets worse and worse. And Jesus said, you reproduce your own kind after me. If you're truly born again and of the Spirit, and you are a disciple, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, your life, your example, your consecration, everything that God is doing in and through your life, you will reproduce the same. That's what he's on about here. So he's saying you don't go out and save people, because people who go out and try and save will make clones, will save them to their organization or their church so they become whatever it would be. That is not how God works. He works completely differently, which we will look at later on. You see, the disciple is to come back rejoicing and praising God. And that's what we've been hearing this morning through these testimonies. It's lifting the Lord Jesus Christ up. It's glorifying his name. Why? Because we know it is God who has done it. It doesn't lie in our power, in our intellect, in man's ideas. And this is what, of course, we read in Luke 10, verses 17, 20. Luke 10, 17, 20, when the 70 return with joy. Remember, they're sent out to take authority over the demons and so on, to declare the Lord and so on. They come back rejoicing. And here it says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us by your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
Amen.
And that's what we are rejoicing about this morning. These testimonies that we've heard is an indication of salvation, is an indication that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have eternal security in Christ Jesus. We go right back to the basis of what salvation is about, that you are a new creation. And so these things that come forth are a sign that we belong to the Lord. And notice what they come back and their declaration. Notice what they come back and are excited about. They have authority over the enemy. Does the church see that today? Does it experience it? Does it move forward in that? No. You will hear man's achievements. what is organized, or how big the outreach is, or how much of it was broadcast on the local radio, or whatever it would be. None of that. Listen to what they rejoice. But he takes a step further. He said, yes, I've heard what you said, but I'm going to tell you why you have authority over the powers of darkness and everything. Because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why. See? That is it. The secret of joy is you have a right relationship with God. That is your joy. And so many in churches today are looking for happiness. They like to call it joy, but it isn't. It's happiness. The world looks to see if you'd be happy. Are you happy? Well, we know happiness is like the wind. It changed. God isn't always interested about whether you're happy. He's interested in whether the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because that's what's going to stand in the end of the day. And I'm not against being happy. Of course I'm not. But don't rely on it, because happiness is connected with emotions, feelings again, you see. There's the difference. So it's a sign that we have this right relationship with God. You see, our call is to remain faithful to God. And our purpose is to disciple men and women to Jesus. God hasn't entrusted you saving them. What he's entrusting us is to disciple. And discipleship means a number of things. It means something that can be very practical. It means going that extra mile, which often is the case. It means staying with it. It means being faithful, seeing it through. It also means that you're an intercessor. You pray. You get on your knees, because that's where it starts. That is what it's all about. And we have to learn a principle that Jesus gave in John 20 and verse 21. And this is the clue to it all. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." You have to be sent. And sadly, many haven't got a clue as to what this means to be sent by God. And the first thing you'll know very often, if you are being sent by God, it's not probably something that you would want in the natural. It's not what you're pursuing. It's not the idea that you would have of being sent of God. He'll send you into situations that you don't particularly want to go to. He will ask of you to do things that you don't really want to do. He will ask you to say something that you don't choose to say in the natural. And all this is a sign you are being sent. You are being used in that situation. And it is an anointing. That's what Jesus is talking about there. He's actually pointing to the unction of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit sending you in a situation. Particularly important for ministry, and the fivefold ministry, of course, they're the ones that very often are ministering the word of God and so forth. So they need to know that they are sent by God. And that's why, of course, if you get invites or people are asking you whatever it is, the first thing you know what to do, of course, is you go before God and you pray about it and you wait on the Lord, which is really elementary in many ways. But we have to learn to be sent by the Lord. You see, it's not for the needs of the people, but the command of Jesus. It's not our feelings or our inspiration or planning. The goal is to be true to him. It's what it's all about. It's not even the feelings or emotions. It's not even what we hear. Or, you know, that panic button. Oh, I better drop everything, let's go, or whatever it is. I'm not saying that that can't have a place, but the whole point is, are you sent by God? And sometimes it means he's not going to send you. Your prayers are going to be far more beneficial. We have to get emotions out of the way. Jesus didn't walk by emotions. And the demand on him sometimes must have been horrendous. Well, we know it. We know it. Yet he's not moved by that. He's not influenced, controlled by that, which so often we are, because our emotions, feelings still get in the way. So God is teaching us that we are to be true to him, to carry out his plan. And that's what he's working in us, you see. But human nature being like it is, we're overwhelmed by sympathy, and you're no longer then sent. You're going. You're doing it. You're trying. And you know, think about it. We go in our own strength, and then we have the audacity to seek God and ask him to bless it, or to empower it, or to do whatever it is. I mean, think about it. Now, I mean, God, praise his name. He's been merciful and gracious, and where there is faith, yes, he will bless and answer it. But we're moving beyond that, brothers and sisters, now. We're going in, we're claiming the land. This is big stuff now. This is a different ball game. It's sonship. That's what it's about, you see. And that's why, you see, Jesus got a lot of stick, because they didn't like the fact that he waited on God. And that's why they were saying, well, you weren't very loving that time, were you? Well, you knew the needs that were there. Why weren't you there? You see that anxiety. You see it. I mean, raising of Lazarus. There's a prime example there. He didn't get caught up with all the rest of them all mourning and, you know, if you'd only been here and so forth. No, he was waiting to be sent, because that was the anointing that was going to raise him from the dead, which of course it did. You see, it did. That's why I go back to Matthew 28:19, what we're talking about. It's not human wisdom, but it's his spiritual provision that is in operation. It is not your human wisdom God is after. It is where you are sent, you go, and if God sends you, then he will provide for that whole situation. And whatever needs come up, even if it means 5,000 need to be fed, God's provision will be there, because you are anointed, you have been sent by the Holy Spirit. And this is how we make disciples. Can you not see how much of the church have got it so wrong? It's humanistic. I'm sorry to say, but a lot of it's even New Age. It's even New Age. You know, there is a passion today for saving souls that just doesn't come from God. But it comes out of our desire to make converts on our terms. Yeah. You don't make converts on your terms. God is sovereign. Actually, I don't believe it's difficult to bring people to salvation, or even backsliders to reclaim their position, their stand with the Lord. I don't actually believe it is that difficult. And we've made it difficult. Our unbelief has made it difficult. Our apathy, our lack of prayer at times. The challenge comes by our personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's just a lack of faith that is the problem. And let's address it as it is. Because God wants to add to this church. Yes. Believe me. Matthew 9:28. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 28. And when he had come unto the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said to him, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. And that's the key. Do you believe that I am able to do this? And that is what God requires of us. Every teaching sermon that we hear, that comes out of it, the challenge every time to us in this assembly is, do you believe or not? Now, nobody can do that for you. You have to decide that one, because ultimately the is to bring people to the faith challenge. Do you believe? Do you want to believe? It's really what the Lord's saying. Do you want to believe? Because I'm telling you, and all I'm asking of you is, yes, do you? It's not rocket science. Sometimes it is just so easy, that's why we miss it, you see. This is why we miss it. Many times the Lord is asking us the question, salvation of family, how are you getting on with that? Adding to the church, believing to be used. It just goes on, it's endless. That you can be used where you are, God can lead you alongside to people, whatever it is. Do you want that? Do you want to be used? Of course you do. It's the most healthiest thing for a disciple. No wonder we get down and apathetic and whatever it is and so on. We at times have been our own worst enemy. Simply believing. Okay. You hear what God's saying. We're hearing what he's saying today. I trust if you really heard this, you'll take it away and you'll start praying. I'm wanting for this assembly some prayer meetings through the night, shortly. And I'm before the Lord about, and they're probably on a Friday night. And wherever we want to go, I'm willing to have it here, and we can pray through the night as the Spirit leads, and so forth. That's what God's now leaning on my heart. You know, we have done it in the past, but there are going to be times for it, brothers and sisters. And if your circumstances are difficult, whatever it is, give it over to God and you'll watch. If you want to be there, he'll get you there. He'll move heaven and earth. Not difficult. It's not difficult at all. You see, we make it too difficult sometimes. This is the problem. We have to present what Jesus has done to make disciples. Romans 5, verse 10. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Brothers and sisters, something we need to learn. We are not saved by believing, repentance, but these are the signs and confession on what God has done through Jesus Christ. My life, my confession, my belief is what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, initially we make a confession, of course we do. But when we make disciples, we always turn to the one who has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the gift of God, his Son. And that is what we emphasize. We all want this confession. We want to hear, you know, make a confession now, or are you a believer, whatever it is. That has a place. That has a place. But the point is that it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not on the emphasis or the effect, but on the cause. Not even my obedience or my consecration or my commitment that makes me right with God. It's what Jesus has done on my behalf. It is the grace and mercy of God. It is nothing to do with me. I am here today because of God's grace and love and mercy. And that is what you emphasize. That is your testimony. That is what makes disciples. They are hearing and being presented with the love of God, but also the sovereignty of God. And that is the point. So that they in no way, in any way, shown that they must do something in a sense to be saved, or good works, or start praying, or start coming to the church, or start coming to FGA. That isn't going to make a disciple at all. And yet at times we can still do this. We can still do this. I'm made right simply because I believe what he has done, not on human logic. And that is what you share, what he has done. Not your testimony, not what he's done for your family, or what is happening at church, or whatever it is. A disciple of Christ is made on the basis of what he has done. And each of you are at that point a teacher. And that's why you need to know the Word of God. And then we will make disciples. Because it's the Word, it's the sword of the Spirit, our brother said. You see. I was very quickened by that, what was said today. You're not made right on your works, whatever it is. We're made right by what he has done. Let's turn, if you, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to him through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. You need to be reconciled with God. You need to be brought back. And this is God's provision. This is the way. You see, you are in no way standing in the gap or are a hindrance in whatever. You are pointing that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one who reconciles. Now this might sound pretty basic or elementary, but the enemy's out there to trick you. And if he can get human emotions in, or whatever it is, he will hinder that word, that seed, from going into that person or family or whatever situation. Jesus has finished. He's done it. There's no more. This is the provision. John 19, verse 30. This is still in the context of go, make disciples, John 19. Verse 30. Of which he says, so then Jesus received sour wine, and he said, it is finished. It's done. The moment he gave up the ghost, the whole lot is finished. Done. No more. Don't make it complicated. Keep your logic, your human wisdom out of it. He said it's done, it's finished. This was the shout of victory. That's really what it was. It's done. I've dealt with death. I've dealt with the enemy. I've dealt with those things that's held and fettered man. Now go forth and believe it. We do so often make it difficult, don't we? But we're learning. And maybe we always take comfort from the scriptures. Maybe at the moment God has kept us like we are because he's working with us, that we get it right. So it's not all us. God's in complete control. It's always a bigger picture. Whatever it is, God is working everything together for good, but he is working and working with us so that we get everything right. And we will see disciples brought in for the kingdom of God, because the anointing's there, because we are going, we have been sent by God. And that is the difference. That is what God is working with. This will start to bring the greater works in that we are believing for. But brothers and sisters, we have to really start to learn about spiritual warfare. You think the enemy is going to sit back and let this all happen? Not at all. But our victory is the same victory. Jesus said, it's finished, it's done. There's the victory. We simply apply by the anointing, by the leading of the Holy Spirit, what has been accomplished and done at the cross of Calvary, Jesus. We simply implement what has been achieved and done. We're simply vessels available for the Spirit and power of God to move in and through us into whatever situation he leads us. And this whole body is to function. This whole body is to function. It's not just me or a few others. It's all of us to function in whatever way the Lord leads you. And I see, and the Lord's opened my eyes to some of you, what I see is coming from you. Some of you have that outreach into people, into lives. You've been given that he's preparing some of you for that. That is your gift. That is what God's preparing. Some others are more for study, or some are to consecrate into prayer and intercession. You know, you see these given gifts are working. Simply let the Holy Spirit mold and work you in the way that he does. And he will. That's what the body is about. It's how it functions. We can't all be the same. I, you know, one of the things that I have avoided over the years, and I trust by God's grace and mercy I have, but God forbid, I'd never want to produce clones here. I have such a fear of it. I have such a, you know, it's something that's really disturb me. You know, that I hear remarks, oh, you're one of Kim Page followers, or whatever it is. You know, you really have to overcome that, because everything within you doesn't want that, anything but we know, of course, the enemy, he'll try in whatever way he can, but you know my point, what I'm saying. And that's why it's so important that we know that anointing that says go. Sometimes you'll go into a situation, I you know, and I come away and I think, what was the use of that? I cannot see any purpose. And I sought God, I waited on him, you know, I've done everything I know to do, and you come back all despondent and whatever it is. You see, he's teaching you something. He's teaching you. You know what it is? You went with preconceived ideas as to what you thought it could be or should be or might be. I now go, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to even try and work it out. I don't want to even know. If God just says go, that's all that matters. Why? Because it's come out of a relationship with him. It's about he and I. It's not about circumstances. It's not about emotions. It's not about feelings. It's not about what's going on, the turmoil. It comes out of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost. But we get it round the other way. We want to go, and when we see where to go, then we're going to get closer to God. How many times in the past have you really consecrated time when you are sensing, or you committed yourself to something, or whatever it is, and after you've committed, whatever it is, wow, the time you spend with God. Unbelievable. We've all done it. We've all done it. But that's using him. you would turn round and say to somebody, oh, you only come round when you want something. How many times have we heard that said in families? Oh, you're only round here because you want something, not to see me, and yet we're doing it all the time to God. You think about it. No, he's getting our act right to glorify him. Everything comes out of your relationship with the Lord. Everything comes out of your innermost being, flows these rivers of living water. It is the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Godhead in you, reaching out, touching, healing, restoring, feeding, you name it, whatever's needed. It comes out of that. And it is an experience. It's something that you know. And the more you experience this, the more you want. Because you then see it's working. And of course God wants it to work. Nobody wants it to work more than he does. We have to learn he is God, he is sovereign, and he is going to do it his way. And we're getting there. I know it's taken me 40 years, but I take comfort because I can read other saints in the Bible. It took just as long, if not longer. So, you know, not that we become complacent, but sometimes you just think, my word, when? How long does it take? How long does it take? God's tarrying now. The Lord should have come. He should have come. Everything, Bible prophecy, everything we've heard over the years, looking to Israel, everything, the Lord should have come by now. No two ways about it. But he's not. He's still at the moment tarrying. And there's a reason. There's a purpose. Because he's looking to see that you get it right. Amen. Father, again, we thank you today. Thank you for being in our midst. Thank you for your touch on our lives. Thank you, Father, for correcting us, teaching us, showing us the error of our ways. Lord, we know that you are bringing all of us to the end of ourselves. It's simply just to let go. That's all it is. It's not that you're our enemy or whatever it is. Father, we still have so many props, securities. But you are showing us that faith completely lets go of everything. And you know the way to do it. And so, Father, we want to thank you for this. We want to thank you, Father, that you're teaching us to be those disciples going out, to make disciples through the anointing, through the Holy Spirit, so that we learn that we are sent in whatever situation, Lord. We are all of us coming now in this consecration where each day our walk is anointed of God. So that whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever happens, it will not take us by surprise. Why? Because we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that's what the sons of God does. That's why we have Romans 8. And we have the Holy Spirit who intercedes and supplicates. So Father, we thank you for this word today. We thank you, Lord, for this meeting. We thank you, Father, for our brothers and sisters who have joined us online. And we give you all the praise and all the glory now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.